Hello everybody and welcome to Toyota Tech Talk here on RadioLeMond.com. I'm John Hindhoff. This is the series that takes you behind the scenes and gives you a bit of an insight into how a top racing team goes about the business of racing, how they make their decisions, what they're thinking about, what they are doing and what they're planning to do in the future. The third round of the World Endurance Championship was the Le Mans 24-hour race. And as Nick Damon found out when he spoke to Nicolas Lapierre earlier in the week, it's not just the other competitors that are an issue out on that 8.5-mile circuit.
The track is very different. That's what makes it challenging, you know. It's a track where we come with a very low downforce package. So it's very difficult for us to drive because on this braking point, you arrive very fast and you're on the very low downforce, and you have three very huge braking points for the two chicane and Mulsanne. And also, you have the fast Porsche corners where you clearly make the lap time. So for us, it's a very demanding track, you know, you need to be focused. And that's without speaking about any traffic, you know, if you put the traffic over it, make it even more difficult. And then under the rain condition, it's even more difficult, you know, because there's so many cars that the water spray doesn't go down until you come again behind. So it's very difficult under the rain condition. We have seen it during the pre-test and the previous year. It can be, not easy at all for us under the rain. Visibility is very poor, and also there is not much, not many lines you can take under the rain. So it makes our life very hard. Try to understand what the guy in front is going to do, and that's the key of the traffic. For sure, this is the most tricky part of the traffic, and the team doesn't have time to tell us who is in the car. You know, it goes too fast because the difference of speed between our car and GT car is just too important. So it would be too difficult to tell every time we overtake who is in the car. But the thing is, you have to watch really far away in front of you and look what the guy is doing. And if you see him one corner, you can guess who is in the car, what kind of pace he is using. Is it Fred Makowiecki or an amateur? You know, it's very easy to see. You have 20 or 30 meters different on the braking point, or 30 kph difference on the corner speed. So it's very easy to say. So we have always to look really in the front and watch out how the car is driving, you know. But sometimes the difficulty comes when you have few cars, you know, and they are all together. And then when you're coming back on them, you didn't have time to analyze everyone, you know. Maybe you know who is the first one you're going to overtake, but the next one, you are not sure if it's a pro or an amateur. And that's where you need to be careful, you know, because the amateur, sometimes they will break, 30 or 40 meters before what you are expecting. So you need to be next to him and not behind him, and that's where the accident comes and where we need to be careful.
Nicolas Lapierre explaining to Nick Damon about the twin challenges of the circuit and traffic at Le Mans 24 Hours 2013. You're listening to Toyota Tech Talk here on RadioLeMond.com. Now, most of us, if we're lucky, get a little bit of time off over the Christmas and New Year period, just time to recharge our batteries before we sally forth again and face the brand new year. If you're a race team like Toyota, and particularly if you're a race team who are preparing for a brand new season with a new car, then things don't always go exactly that way. As John Lutyens from Toyota Motorsport Group explained.
Okay, for sure, as Joran mentioned, it had been a really busy time for us since November. I mean, at that time we were finishing off the design of the car for all the updates on the current 2013 car. And from mid-January onwards, we have been testing the new car. Compared to last year, I think we made a big step forward from the reliability point of view. I mean, this was one of the main items to concentrate on during the design changes. And we have proven this during the winter test that we had quite some endurance runs successfully finished. No, I think in Spa, for sure, we wouldn't have the perfect downforce for what the circuit would normally would need. I mean, you've seen Audi did kind of similar strategy with the car number 3 to really start the Le Mans package to testing there. So from that point of view, it was a test. But I think from the other side, it really was a fair race. I think in Spa, we have seen struggling in some points really with the car, but mainly defined by the tyres. It was an issue which we haven't seen before, but as I just mentioned, we have done quite some reliability testing. We had quite some mileage done. And in the end, it was a very small technical problem. It was just a connector where the cable was broken.
It was a very wet test day that dried out. Would you prefer a dry day, or were you happy with those mixed conditions in test?
Mixed conditions we were really happy to see, because as you will see now, we probably will be in the race as well. For one side, we would have liked a bit more dry running, because now, yes, you went fake from the wet and the intermediates and a short run on slicks, but it would be good to have a bit more running on the dry. But as we've seen here now with mixed conditions, maybe the test day was already the good start from it. I mean, the gap as well, based on, let's say, Spa results, the gap is still around 2.5 seconds, I think, if you really speak about pure quality performance. You're right, in the test day we saw a bigger gap, basically because we concentrated fully on the race setup, really development for the race, to make sure everything is smooth and reliable. And I think the Audis had a similar program, but the one car for sure did a kind of quality run. One car, we concentrated more on the aero and tires. This time for sure rain intermediate. You see what is the switchover point, when is the best to swap. Aerodynamically, really to see what is the best, higher downforce levels, lower downforce levels, as well the aero distribution. I mean, this was really do the whole program, to do all the steps and reaction on the car. The other car, we concentrated more on the mechanical setup there as well, the mechanical balance forward, backwards, weight distribution, as far as we can adapt it. And as well to the settings of the car, the gear shift, to make sure all the systems, what the effects are. No, a little bit mixed is always nice, the challenging. And I think as well, we have seen in the winter testing, we never had really dry events as well. So we always have been a bit in the pre-season as well in mixed conditions. For the tires, I think it's best if it would be warm and dry. But I don't think it's going to be extremely hot here anyway. So a bit of mixed conditions is okay. I think what you hear now is too much.
Is it fair to say that because of the fact that Audi can turn their boost up, you've already given up qualifying? You don't believe you've got a chance of being on pole?
No, we're not giving up completely, especially with these mixed conditions. As you said, it's three sessions. We have to see what the weather is. We have seen as well the weather forecast is really difficult here, because even if you look yesterday on the weather forecast, this morning it should be rain and then dry. When we arrived here, the sun was shining. So we will for sure do our best, but we know that the chances are small. I mean, from our side, we didn't really change anything in fuel consumption. We really are similar as last year. Yes, we have a bit more fuel. So if the Audis have the same fuel consumption after the show in Spa, I think we will have a few stops less, which for sure is in our advantage in that time. But we have to see what final strategy they're using, because we have seen they can be thirsty and quick, or maybe a little bit less, and maybe as well very good consumption. In the end, every year there's done a balance of performance, and we have seen over winter that the restrictor was adapted for the diesels, but on the fuel side nothing was done. And we just asked, okay guys, it was agreed to do a full balance of performance, and the fuel economy is one part of it. And in the end they studied the data and they agreed with us, and that's basically compensation of what I've seen last year. When we first got the 3 liters, we were for sure it didn't help us at all, because for last year we could do 11.2 laps, this 3 liters doesn't help you. And with additional fuel saving, we will lose lap time. So this is one of the things for sure we will test, hopefully with a bit better weather today as well, to see where we are. Because we are not sure if we can do the 12 laps. It's very unlikely. It's for sure remapping the engine to go on a leaner map, but as well the drivers to even pay more attention on maybe lifting slightly earlier. And in the gears, if possible, try in a higher gear to just... You lose hardly any time, but the fuel consumption is much better. I mean, you can for sure get 1 to 2 laps more out of it, yes.
So when you're actually sitting there on the pit wall, how much of the calculations are you actually doing on the fly? How much of the supercomputer is in your head, and how much is back in Cologne, and how much is on the pit wall itself?
Well, no, in Cologne, during the event, we have nothing. I mean, for sure, after the event, some data will be checked here. But during the event itself, it's all done here on the pit wall and partly in the head, yes. For sure, some scenarios are done for dry and wet cases. But as you say, it's changeable, and it's always difficult to really plan this in advance. So we have a kind of software where we try to feed in every time what is happening and then see what the best result is. Best thing, if you look at the history, it's often proven that to make sure you win, you need 3 cars. But as I said, everything can happen in 24-hour racing, and just as long as you stay out of the incidents, 2 cars should be more than enough. For sure, in the beginning of the race, they will take a bit more care with overtaking, because as I said, there are so many cars out. For sure, during the race, when some cars will drop out, there's a bit more space, they can come more on the rhythm, but normally they go for 100%.
Have you, in this new 2013 car, did you concentrate on tyre management, or were you happy with the effects of the 2012 machine?
I mean, we were quite happy with the 2012 machine, but I mean, there's always room for improvement. So we have some slight adjustments even on the geometry to even improve this. Yes, I would think around 3 seconds per lap, we should be quicker than last year. Yes, but test day you see it's a very green track, and I think if you see the quality time last year when you have really run in track, we sure have to see what the rain does now to the track as well. So maybe we don't even make this gap because it's anyway different conditions. I mean, in the end, you have to do with your simulation to find out what the best is for your overall race distance. But I think normally holding a little bit back and do more constant running would be better. The base calculation is that everything was perfect. But as I said, this is kind of a living software during the event. For sure, we really enter in the program what is happening to see where in the end will drift. So if a few issues happens during 5 hours, for sure you will see maybe your strategy at a certain point have to change. As a team, we go to really the hour thing. But as you said, as person, I mean, I think it's the human reaction that when you once you have passed the night, the sun is coming up, it's all going to get better. And you think, yes, we're almost there. But still, then it's often still 6 hours, which is a normal WEC race. It's still a long time to go then.
John Lutyens of Toyota Motorsport Group and Nick Dearman experiencing the changeable weather conditions that were such a feature of the Le Mans 2013 event. It is RadioLeMond.com and you're listening to Toyota Tech Talk. And to round off this edition for round three of the FIA World Endurance Championship, let's get Nicolas Lapierre to tell us every nuance of that famous 8.5 mile Circuit de la Sarthe.
Going through the first pit lane, very impressive straight line. We have two massive grandstands on each side. Very good atmosphere here, especially at the start. And then going a little bit up, we have a bit of a right kink. And just after this kink, we have the first braking point for the Dunlop chicane. It's very bumpy. Right at the beginning of the braking, you have a big bump, so the car is a bit upset there. Then you enter this chicane in second gear. It's nothing special. Very slippery on the wet condition. Quite okay on the dry. Quite often you see wheel locking on this corner at the braking because of the bump. So very easy to lock up wheels there, going there in second gear. And then you're going to the S of La Forêt, so second, third, fourth, fifth gear, going down there. Very bumpy, very tricky to overtake there. It's where we have seen the crash of Alan McNish a few years ago. Very impressive. The GT car doesn't really see us there, but we have to overtake, otherwise we lose too much time behind them. And then we go to this left corner, which is quite a nice corner with a bit of banking, going there in fourth gear. Very exciting corner. You can keep a lot of speed. And then you're heading to Tertre Rouge. Tertre Rouge is a very important corner because it is bringing you to the first straight line. So exit speed is very important. You came there in fourth gear, you keep the fourth gear, and it's a very slight braking going into this corner. Use a bit of the inside curb, outside curb. Just make careful that you don't go too wide on the outside, because now they made some hole and banana on the outside to avoid that the car go too wide. And then you start the very long straight line, so it's quite impressive the first time you drive here, because you can see very, very far away the end of the straight line. And it's probably the longest straight line of any track, you know. It used to be bumpy, but now they remade the asphalt 2 years ago, so it's a bit smoother. And there you go, 330 kph more or less. And the breaking point for the first chicane is very late now because of this new asphalt. It used to be 150 when the track was bumpy, but now it's around 100 meters, so it's quite impressive. Going into the chicane in third gear. In the race, during the race, only the line is good, you know. If you just go a little bit wider, it's very slippery. That's the place where Romain Dumas crashed last year, you know. You see the car just going a meter wide, and then you have no grip at all, and you cannot avoid the crash. So it's very important to stay on the good line. And there you go for the second straight line, very long again, back to 320. It's a little bit shorter than the previous one. And the second chicane is the same kind of chicane that the first one, braking at 100 meters and using third gear inside. Very similar chicane. One is right-left and the second one is left-right, but very similar kind of corners. And then you head to Mulsanne, very exciting corner. You go there and you have a little right kink that you have to do it flat, and then when you arrive just at the apex of this right kink, you have to start braking. So you brake with a bit of load, so it upset a bit the car. And there is very difficult to know what to do with the GT, whether go inside or wait the exit of the corner. Very tricky corner for us. Second gear corner, it's the second slowest corner of the track. On the exit, you need traction. That's the key. You know, you can go over the curb, but what you are really looking for is traction, you know, because after this, you have a really long straight line again. I think it's the longest straight line of the track, so you need to have good traction to get the good top speed on this straight line. On this straight line, you have two little kinks on the right, which are flat out, but very dangerous because the GT are using all the place there, and you cannot afford to stay behind them. That's where we saw Michael Canfeller crash 2 years ago. Very impressive. Very difficult at night as well, because you cannot predict what the GT car is going to do. After this long straight line, you go to Indianapolis, one of the most exciting corner. You have a first right corner going into sixth gear, almost flat. And then right after it, you have to brake for the left-hander, which is in third gear, much slower. And then you accelerate to Arnage. Arnage is definitely the most tricky corner and the most dangerous corner for us to make mistake, because it's a very slow corner, the slowest of the track. And the rhythm change, you know, you exit of this Indianapolis very quickly and suddenly you arrive very in 150 kph to this corner, and there is very low grip, it's a bit bumpy, and you have to use first gear for this corner, so it's very tricky there, very easy to outbrake and go straight. After this, you are looking for traction as well, because the exit is very slow, and there the hybrid is very useful for us to overtake cars. Then going to the Porsche corner, my favorite part of the track, I think the favorite part of most of the drivers, you know, because it's a 6th and 5th gear corners. The rhythm is very impressive. The barrier are very close, so you can feel the atmosphere and the public watching there. So it's very nice. You have a bit of a bump at the entry of the first corner, which is in 5th gear. A bit of a break just before. And then first left, second left are flat out in 5th gear, more than 240 kph. And then you have this long right corner, very challenging for us, because that's the only place in the Porsche corner where we can overtake GT cars. So sometimes we have to go outside of them, and the track is a bit dirty, but it's very exciting. And then you go, the last one is the karting left corner. It used to be more challenging because it was grass on the outside, and we have seen a lot of crash there, but now they put a bit of tarmac on the outside, so it's a bit easier than before. And then you're coming to the pit entry and the Ford chicane. There you need to use a lot of curb. Curb riding is the key of this last part. It's a very important part. You can make a really lap time difference there if you use right the curb. On the first chicane is third gear, and then you go down to second, and you clearly see the target of the team, whether you cut the curb and you take the risk to damage the splitter, whether you go around them and lose a bit of time. It's very nice to see the difference between the driving style. But if you really want to gain time, you have to cut this yellow baguette. But this is quite a tough part for the car. And there you go again on the pit lane, straight lane.
Nicolas Lapierre with a fabulously detailed description of, it seemed, almost every yard of the 8.5 miles of the Le Mans 24-hour circuit. And that brings to an end Toyota Tech Talk for the third round of the FIA World Endurance Championship for 2013. For round four, we're off travelling again to another historic circuit. We're off to South America and to Sao Paulo. And don't forget, every practice session, qualifying, warm-up and the whole race is live here on RadioLeMans.com, and we'll have another edition of Toyota Tech Talk.